it may not be a problem, but when you have a church that has so many preachers, that can also, I would think, be, I don't know, burdensome a little bit, because you got to make sure nobody gets offended, because, why do they preach all the time? And I never get a chance to preach, because the human can come out of you. So, but it is an honor and a privilege to preach. It's a challenge, because when your mindset is always geared towards teenagers and children's church, master clubs, and now you got to talk to y'all. No, I don't know how to talk to adults, you know. I don't even know how to act like one, more or less talk to them. Luckily, my wife's not here to agree with that. But I will tell y'all that I've had some sermons in my mind that I've been, working on, whatever the right words are for that. And I haven't really had peace with them yet, so I don't know what the deal with that is. But, they're ready. I'm waiting on God. Know how that is. And so this morning when Brother Josh texted me, I was like, okay, I could pull one of them out. So I was like, okay, I phone it in. I'll use ones I've done before. And because I really like Elijah when he was running from Jezebel and how he got discouraged and all that. I like that story, and I like Gideon and how he kept, God kept on taking men away from him before he went to battle. So I like those stories. So I can just pull up one of those again. But I didn't have peace with that. And then God sent me to Job. And I got about a quarter of a page of notes, which, as a preacher, that is like having no notes. So we are going to be in Job, as I told you. But one thing I wanted to mention, because I was struggling with it, because I felt bad about, I'll just use one of my old notes and they'll be okay. Well, that's not fair. That's not taking this serious, But I wanted to see if y'all noticed something. When y'all get y'all's bulletin, how quickly do y'all open it up? Do y'all ever look on the front cover? I don't. My wife does the bulletin, and she wants me to do the spell check and make sure everything's spelled right and periods are where they need to be, and so that's all I do. But there is a, I'm sure probably Brother Canaan did it, or I don't know, maybe Christy did it, but there underneath the website on the front cover of the bulletin, it says, a real church filled with real people with real problems coming together to serve a real God. How cool is that? I don't know how long that's been there. And this December we'll be here 3 years. So hopefully it hadn't been there 3 years. Hopefully it's new. Otherwise I'm really in trouble. But anyway, I'll quit rambling, quit stalling. So we're going to be in the book of Job. There's only 42 chapters, so we'll just get them all while we're here. But I'm actually am going to read the first chapter of Job. That's where I'll be mostly. And I'll read that. So y'all bear with me. So in Job 1 and verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called forth their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job, and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, dear Lord. Thank you for allowing me to preach and share your word, dear Lord God. Be with all the prayer requests, dear Lord God. Just calm my nerves, calm everything going on in my head and my mind, dear Lord. And just let me deliver your word as you have me to do. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. I have spent a good bit of time in Job over the last year. Initially, Luke came to me in Sunday school and said, let's do Job and go through the book of Job in Sunday school. So I prayed about it and said, okay, let's do this. So we got a few chapters in, and then Luke decided he needed to go to the college and career class. So he abandoned us. But we did finish that, but I have some thoughts on Job that I would like to share with you. But the most first thing that struck me was verse 21 and verse 22. And let me just read those again. We'll be fresh in your mind. And it said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I can truthfully tell you, I don't know if I would have that same attitude. Shame on me, but that's just truthful. He has lost everything. And he praised God and thanked God for it. I just don't I just don't think I could do that. I don't think, I get upset and I question God on the smaller things. And I've never lost everything. But Job did, and he held fast. But the first five verses describe Job's life perfectly. Now, granted, there's 42 chapters in the book of Job, but everything that happens from chapter 2 on still can be contained in those first five verses. Throughout it all, he had everything. He had all these animals. And I'm sorry, my blood sugar's going off. And yet he still stayed faithful. And the one thing I liked about verse 5 is that even though his sons sinned, even though they were not faithful to God, Job never wavered. And what I take away from that is, in verse 1 it talks about how Job was perfect and upright. So no matter what raising these boys had and daughters had, they still strayed away from God. So our raising doesn't dictate how our life is going to be, for the good or for the bad. So if your home life was absolutely horrible, you don't have to continue that course in life. No, you can make a difference. You can change. We all have our own story in our own life. You can make a difference in how your story goes. But also, you're raised in a godly house. You can very easily stray away from that. You can take things for granted. Y'all know I came to church before I was even born. I was always in church. I don't know anything but church. But it also makes it very easy to play church, because you know what to say, when to say, and how to say it, and who to say it to. And I've been in that period of my life. So how our raising is does not dictate how our life will always go. But, and that can be, that's shown at the tail end of verse 5. But to describe Job, there is a couple things I want to point out. First one is in verse 1, where it talks about being perfect and upright. And then it says, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Those are four great attributes that are ascribed to Job. Perfect and upright, one that feared God, and eschewed, what's being shunned, turned away from. He eschewed evil. So basically, his life could not have been any exemplary. Now, when it said that he was perfect and upright, that does not mean that he was sinless. He stayed faithful. Even talking about David, no, God said that he's a man after God's own heart. But we know the struggles and the troubles that David did. So even though it mentions that Job was perfect, it does not mean that he was sinless. There is a big difference on that. But verse 2 through 4 list all his family, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then it goes through all the animals and the houses that he had. So he was very prosperous. And then verse 5 talks about how he was pious and prayerful. Now, what pious is just just another word for being strictly religious. There's no wavering in your faith. But he was also plagued. Now, verse 6 through 12, and I won't read all those verses, but 6 through 12 describes those plagues. And that was by Satan. He was plagued by by Satan, that as far as, you know, God gave permission to Satan do everything he wanted to Job, just can't take his life. And Satan did everything that he could. So, you know, God gave him free rein, and Satan took it and ran. But the second part of being plagued is that verses 13 through 19, and he was plagued by tragedy. All of us probably have experienced some point of tragedy in our life, or a great loss, or at least know somebody that's went through it. And how you react to that means a lot, not just to you, but to everybody around you. Oftentimes, there are things that we go through that we just do not understand why we're going through it, but sometimes we're going through it because people are watching, and when they go through it, they'll know how, well, if they went through it, I can go through it. So how you handle things matters, and oftentimes, you know, even when we don't think anybody's paying attention, they are. Now, if you've ever been around little kids very long, you think they're in another room, and they probably are in another room, but they hear everything. Even when we don't think they are. Now, they can't hear when we tell them to clean their room or stuff like that or take a bath, but they can hear us when we're saying stuff we shouldn't be saying or doing things we shouldn't be doing. So we need to be mindful of God at all times, because we do not know who's watching. And what I'm grateful for, I've never been a part of a church that has the youth group that we have. From the little ones all the way up, they're just a good group. And we're very blessed and very grateful. They're very talented, but in an instant, that can all be taken away. If somebody in the church that they looked up to messes up severely, that may change their opinions, their thoughts on church and God. We have to pay attention. We have to make sure that we are mindful of God, and I'm grateful for the young people that we have, that we can just let them be. Miss Heather has mentioned it before, that while she's at church, she never has to worry about her kids. She knows that there's somebody watching them, that you know, they can just be in the back, be in the front, be upstairs, they can be somewhere, but they're okay. And we have a great church, and I'm so grateful that God led my family here. But in an instance, God can take everything at Gateway away. So we have to be mindful, and we have to keep God central of everything we do. But another attribute of Job is in verse 20. And it said, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." After all of that, he worshiped. So it shows that he was patient. He didn't take off to try to know the house fell, so to dig out of the house to try to find his kids. Or just maybe this person that came and told him that he's the only one that survived, maybe they're wrong. No, he didn't go check on his livestock. He was patient, and he knelt and worshiped God. His priorities were right. And in verse 21, it talks about how he was praising. But also, there are four mistakes that were made in regard to Job that will compromise our thoughts today. So we need to keep mindful of those. So those four things are, one, And I didn't, these are throughout the book of Job. They're not just contained in chapter 1. But the first one is, Job's wife thought that life was over when they lost everything. Because if you remember, that's when his wife just said, why don't you just curse God and die? We often put things of material above things that really matter. No, we may have a bill coming due and we really struggle and try to figure out how we're going to pay this thing. Or we know we got to do something to our vehicles and we don't know how we're going to pay for those things. So we worry about it. We know, work extra, get a side job, or do whatever. But in the midst of that, did we ever pray about it? And I'm completely guilty. I cannot tell you how many times I try to fix things before I pray about it. Luckily at that point, Christy's not here again. And that's, I don't know if it's just the male part of me or just the lack of faith in me. I'm not sure which one it is, maybe a little bit of both. But I do try to fix things before I pray about it. But with this, they lost everything. So Job's wife was like, okay, our life is over. But the best part of the story of our lives when we go through those hard times is how things are when we get out of that hard time. Things are so much better, and it's a whole lot better than what we would have done if we did truly fix it on our end. And I've said this before, I will continue to say it, and it's something that Brother Josh has said that has stuck with me, is that anything that we go through didn't first pass through the hands of God. No, God orchestrates everything. And if we're going through it, then God knows about it. So why do we worry about things? He already knows, and it doesn't catch him off guard. It doesn't surprise him. So that, when I wrote that, just kind of hit close to home. It's that, why do we just try to think like our life is over when things are really bad? And I'm quick to just go to a negative place. But in the next point I had was, Satan thought that Job only served God for his blessings and the things he provided. So what I mean by that is, if Satan took everything away from God, then if Satan took everything away from Job, I knew that didn't sound right. If Satan took everything away from Job, then he had Job right where he wanted. Because nope, that's what his mindset was, is that Job only worships God because he has all this stuff. If he doesn't have all this stuff, he'll quit worshiping God. And that wasn't the case. And God will bless you in ways you don't realize. Some of the most generous people I know are the wealthiest people I know, but also the most generous people I know are the people who struggle day in and day out. It's your mindset on knowing where true blessings come from. It all comes from God. There is, no matter what you do for a living, how much money you make or don't make, that ability to do that job comes from God. And that is what we have to keep in our mind, is that our blessings are from God. But Job had five friends, and using the word friends is kind of not accurate to describe them. But even though they had to know, it doesn't tell us how they met, why their relationship began or anything like that, but they had to be close enough where they knew what Job was dealing with and felt comfortable enough to come to Job. So he has these five friends. They had to know what type of life Job lived. But yet, each one of them thought that it was sin that got Job sidetracked. Now, why don't you just confess, and then God will make things right. And of course, his friends have weird names, so bear with me. But Eliphaz denounced Job as a sinner that won't confess his sins. Bildad accused him of being a hypocrite that only playing church or playing a Christian when people are around. Zophar called him a liar. And Elihu darkened his counsel with words. So let me explain that. That's in chapter 38, verse 2. It says, "And who's that darketh counsel by words without knowledge?" So what that means is that he was giving counsel to Job without really knowing what was going on. That is some of the worst advice we can give people, is when we don't really know what's going on in their life. Now, I get it completely that you don't want everybody to know everything about your life. So if you don't know what's going on, keep your mouth shut. And that was where his friend, that's where he went wrong. He just assumed that he knew what was going on and knew what he needed to say, so he gave him his advice. Even when people know us well, they can still give us some horrible advice. So listen to your friends. Make sure they're good friends and godly friends. But the final counsel and the final decision you need to make is the one that God leads you to make. And the fourth mistake, and I'm almost done, the fourth mistake was that Job thought it was God that was causing him all this trouble and heartache. And with that, you know, God gave Satan the permission or whatever. But it was Satan who took everything away. It's his friends that gave him bad advice. It's his wife that was not very helpful. But the whole time Job thought that it was God that was causing him all this trouble and heartache. We will go through things in life, and we will have tragedies like I mentioned at the beginning. But God wants the best out of us. God does not cause us problems because he's bored that day. There are things that happen. There are things we go through that makes us a better person. God only wants the best of us. And to make us to be a better Christian, a stronger Christian, to have stronger faith, sometimes we have to go through junk to get there. And I wrote this sentence down, and I'm just going to read it to you because I don't have it memorized. It says, "Often it will be our faith, our finances, our family, and our friends that will be the point of attack and lead to our spiritual defeat." These attacks are fought on the battlefield of our flesh, being watched by the world and the devil. So, trying to figure out how to word it without being mean. Our finances and our friends can be our biggest problem. What I mean by that is you can have a good bit of money and people will know that and they come to you. But when you don't have that much money, where are those people? So I'm grateful for the friends I have. I have personally have had, and I'll just be honest with you, I've personally had struggles, and a man at this church gave me a check and told me never to say anything about it. Well, who gave the check? And I've always not seen eye to eye with this individual. But in that point in time, that was exactly what I needed. So, but because of us not always seeing eye to eye, and then because of that, our relationship has strengthened. So why do we have those hard times? It's because God wants something. God knows there's something better for us. But we have to sometimes go through those things. And I know that God has blessed this family because I see them and I see what they're doing. But even though Job lived a perfect life, he lived a prosperous life, he lived a prayerful life, his life was still plagued. He still had tragedy. But through it all, he kept praising. And one of the last things I wanted to say, and she's not in here, but I've told her, and her mom's in here, is Alyssa. How amazing these last couple of years have been. There were times where she would be playing the piano and she would struggle. She would mess up and she would panic and get tearful. And then there's times she wouldn't even sing at all. But then was it last Sunday or Sunday before that she played the piano and sang all on her own? That is something that we would not have seen that long ago. Same with Addison and Katie. We are a blessed church. We are a prosperous church, not necessarily financially, but spiritually. We are very blessed. And I say all of that is in an instance, just like with Job. We could be plagued. We need to have harmony with one another. When something is going on, apologize for it. Make it right. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful for y'all listening to me rambling. Purposely sent out that text that I was preaching. That way y'all had to show up, because otherwise I'll be preaching to Luke. Luke may need it, though. Anyway, but thank y'all. I appreciate y'all coming out. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. I know this may have been a little bit of a mess, dear Lord, but I preached what I felt I needed to, dear Lord. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the people in this church and what they mean to me personally, dear Lord. But thank you.